Hi, I'm John.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
And I'm Giraffe.
And this time we've watched The Chase. And now we're going to argue about whether it's going to make us quit Star Trek.
This solidified why I should be a TNG hater for life. It's just old men talking about fossils. And I do not give a shit.
You see, Olivia, now you know what it's like to work in a pub.
I mean, it was not scintillating. I was so bored at the beginning, I felt insane. And it might have something to do with the fact that I was hungover
You
and
were
got
so
in
hungover.
several hours before watching the episode in the morning. But I mo mainly blame TNG.
That's fair enough. I mean, I do this. I will say now, this episode will come out closest to our 3rd year anniversary. So I think it's a fine tradition that Olivia watched this episode horrendously hungover.
I did it for the fans. I did it
Because
for the
I couldn't be
listeners.
hungover. There's no, I have no alcohol to consume once. It's just me. I had a cup of tea, but
Okay, British. Go
Very
on.
British.
nothing happened. That's my main takeaway from this episode. Nothing
I
happened.
found it obscenely boring.
I mean, a lot happened. Archaeology got more murdered. Paleontology got murdered.
Okay,
Evolution got murdered.
that was
Genetics got murdered.
the
But when
bit where he's
someone
like
who's so boring gets murdered, you kind of like don't notice it.
it was a bit where the archaeologist's like, do you remember those papers I wrote on microbiology? And it's like, why are you, what? I guess I can write economy papers now. It's like, you can't just suddenly, but it's not the 19th century. You can't just become a microbiologist because you feel like it.
Micropaleontology, it's even worse than that.
What? Is that a real thing? That doesn't feel
Yeah,
like a real
it's a
thing.
real thing. It's
Okay. There
absolutely
you
a real
go.
thing.
Right. It feels like one of those things they invented Star Trek to sound clever, but
I mean, I don't know. It was like in like this episode's from like 93, so you know, it's like the same year than Jurassic Park. They have to do genetics and paleontology to sound cool, but they don't listen to their science advisor, so it means nothing.
yeah,
The usual.
imagine listening to the person you hired to talk about science.
Who was their science? Did they have one before Erin? I'm sorry, it doesn't seem like they had
They,
one. Not
it
even
occurs
Pepper.
they did.
They
Though
did,
a
yeah.
lot of, I think a lot of science advice was also sending letters or emails to scientists and then maybe getting a reply. And then if you get a reply, maybe you pay attention to it.
It just felt very vibesy, the science.
See, there's a lot of ice-based science everywhere. I mean,
I don't know, for me, like,
how does
maybe
the
like.
gravity work? Yeah, there you go. How does the fucking gravity work in space? Nobody knows. That's advice for science.
Yeah, but like, okay, so that's that. Yeah, we don't have any spaceship, but we do have archaeology, so they could.
That's true.
They didn't have to make up stuff, you know. The thing that is like really like, okay, so this episode, why I hate it so much, and I actually watched it several times because I hosted several panels around archaeology in Star Trek and evolution in Star Trek, which make that episode relevant every single time, and that's why I hate it so much. But it's just like Indiana Jones archaeology. You know, I'm gonna give you an artifact, and it's yours now. What do you mean?
I thought Indiana Jones
Was
was accurate. I thought that's kind of the vibes that, I
well, I mean,
mean,
it was the
I thought that
1936.
as someone whose entire idea of archaeology and paleontology is based on what I thought when I was 5 years old, I assumed that was all legit.
Sure. Yeah, that's how I got into archaeology because I thought that was right, and it's actually not.
You see,
Not at all.
what they had to cut from the script is the 10-minute sequence of Picard filling out all the paperwork for having that,
Exactly.
and the form from them from like the archaeology the staffing article is like, if you break this, we will hunt you down and kill you.
They should have that as
Exactly.
like a post-credit rolling scene. He's just signing paperwork for like an hour.
Like the end of a Frasier episode. It's just the TNG scene plays over Picard doing paperwork at the end of every single episode.
I would love
What do you
that. I
think all
mean,
these pads are on his desk?
yeah.
Forms. That's what they are. That's what he's doing all day long.
Now,
He's
I
doing
know
it, he's playing video games.
we've kind of skipped forward slightly in the whole regime of I Quit Star Trek, which is something we obviously never do. We never break format ever,
Yeah.
do we, Olivia?
We are
Never.
strict. We are professional.
Anyway, so I will segue backwards to sort of go. So you are, because I know you trained as an archaeologist, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
I am
so,
not working as an archaeologist, but I am trained as an archaeologist, yes.
So does the love of Star Trek start before the archaeology training or after the archaeology training?
Before.
Before. Okay.
Before.
Do you remember when?
Yeah. I was like 8 or 9. And I remember watching some of the original series on French TV. Yeah, the best. And being just into it, especially Uhura, if you couldn't tell from my background.
As you should. No one has ever been more correct.
Thank you.
Well, this is an audio format, so I will just say the background behind Giraffe is every single piece of Uhura memorabilia, what you can imagine. There's some you can't, like a rubber duck.
There are 4 Uhura pop heads. I didn't know there were even 4.
No, okay, so
available.
2 of them are Funkos, and 2 of them are actually custom made.
That's so cool.
My co-host MC made this one.
But now I want to know what Spock sounds like in French.
Okay, so I have to say that I don't remember, but I remember being shocked at watching Voyager in English after watching Voyager in French because Janeway's voice is so different.
Is it not as deep?
It's nothing at all. Like not the same one at all. So
wait, I need to hear that immediately. I'm googling it.
See, the problem, of course, is that like Kate Mulgrew, I can't imagine how she's a very French.
Yeah, you can't do her voice like exactly. And the thing is, even I realize now that some episodes I've never watched them in English, so I started a rewatch because I needed to, you know, to see what they sounded like. But Picard is a warm mood because in French he doesn't have a British accent.
Yeah, I was going to say, how insufferable is it to watch Picard be some sort of pseudo Frenchman in French?
It's well, it's puzzling because he speaks French with a normal accent, and then he does these things that are very British. So you're like, what? And
they should have got me to do
French.
The accent. That would have been more accurate. It's just a terrible British French accent.
Can you imagine? No, they're all speaking French normally, and then I mean, I stopped.
What
watching.
Happens whenever he says like "merde" and shit in season 1? Because he says French swear words. Do they just?
It's just like normal. Like it's just like, you know. And so, the thing is like the translation are so bad. I mean, I remember translation being kind of puzzling. So I was just mainly confused by a lot of plots until I learned English and I started watching Star Trek in English. Then it made a little bit more sense.
No, I'm gonna say it wasn't the language barrier. It was them. It was them. Don't worry.
I mean the other point that's just occurred to me is basically Picard is allowed to swear on TV in France because obviously you can't just say shit on American TV, but you can of course say mad. So
yeah, I think
just,
mad was I. To be honest,
it'd be really funny if they just had him go bugger instead.
Yeah, they shouldn't make him say like, oh, plonker. I don't know. What did the Brits say?
Picard,
I just hear man.
Picard calling Ferengi the wankers.
Oh, waffle. You can really say anything in a British accent and it's like,
you fucking donkey.
Exactly.
Muppets.
Works.
Muppets. I like that one.
Muppets a good one.
So it always makes me laugh.
It's a good one.
Imagine it's just him calling people like a nonce. You fucking nonce.
Those Ferengi nonces out there. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. Anyway, I guess, does that count as your first I quit moment? Or...
No, I think, you know, watching Star Trek on TV, you would watch an episode once and be confused about it, you know, for a week, kind of not being able to rewatch it because I'm old. And then you would watch for like the second, the next one that a week later, and you would be, I don't really remember what happened anyway. So, and I was a teenager also. So, you know, whatever. Like the 90s were wild. Everything on TV was kind of weird. You know, I was watching like Stargate and like Sequest and all this thing. And it was just all weird, all overboard.
Sequest. So, I got
it. Have you never gone to Sequest?
I've never seen it. I think it's just something that Terry probably put in the group chat once and I'm mildly aware of.
My ex got into Sequest and I was quietly bemused by the entire process.
I think my first really I quit Star Trek was Enterprise because that was the first show I could not go through.
Bing, 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 bing,
Enterprise.
Well, yeah.
You know, I'd be... No, go ahead.
I was talking about this morning, actually. I was like, I don't remember exactly where I was. No, I quit Star Trek because I watch a lot of dumb stuff and I feel Star Trek is not the dumbest thing around. So, you know, the bar is very low.
It's incredible when you get into sci-fi, you realize it just gets so much worse. I mean, my God, what is happening in Farscape, guys? Because I'm scared. I'm in fear of my life.
What is happening in Farscape?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows what's happening in Farscape, but you know.
That's Patreon content right there. What is happening in Farscape? We don't know. We just simply don't know.
And but Enterprise, I think, for me, what was horrible is not only the stories, but I really dislike the characters. They're all terrible. And I mean, in TNG or Voyager, I like Janeway, I like Geordi, like I'm attached to some of these characters. So even if the story is bad, I'm gonna watch the next one. And usually you don't have like long strings of terrible episodes, but Enterprise though has very long strings of very bad episode. And I remember like not being able to go through season 2 or even season 3. And it's so made for American public also. As a French, I was like, it's clearly not for me. I'm not the targeted audience. I'm not supposed to watch this. So yeah, I think Enterprise was really my, I quit Star Trek. I finally went through it recently.
And?
Season 4 is not that bad.
Yeah.
When it ends, it's kind of okay.
Exactly.
I mean, I always think a lot about what John Billingsley said when he came on with all those years ago, Olivia. Remember that?
Yeah. The early stages.
It's been a downward slope. But when he basically went, yeah, they gave Manny Coto that because they knew they were canning the shows, and he knew they were canning the show, so he just did whatever the fuck he wanted.
So when they had the freedom.
The freedom of death.
When you know it's all going to end, you can do whatever you want, you know, that's beautiful. Yeah. But yeah. I think season 3 remains the worst season of Star Trek altogether. I think it's even worse than TNG season 1 or Voyager season 1. It's so bad. It's so post 9/11. We're going to hunt down the terrorists and like commit genocide. And it's just, it's so weird.
I just realized when I watch Enterprise, it's clear to me that they're war criminals in several scenarios. Were they not supposed to be that to me? Because were they fully in that post 9/11?
Yeah, they were the good guys.
Fever?
Was I not supposed to
think that they were the bad guys?
No, they were not. They were not meant to be the bad guys.
I didn't know that.
The good guys. Remember that.
Remember that when Kirk gives those guns to the people in Private Little War, which isn't actually a war crime, but it's still really bad. He spends the whole episode humming over the fact that he's about to do a terrible thing, right?
Yeah.
If Star Trek wanted you to think a bad thing was happening, it would just tell you.
I'm sorry. I'm not, you know, particularly genocidal. There's an episode where Trip murders some kids.
Wait, well, they're in... Yeah.
They weren't hatched yet.
Let's not relitigate hatchery. I don't really want to think about that one again.
The best thing is that they want to commit war crime because Florida got destroyed. And I'm just like, are we really going to go on an interstellar war for Florida? Like, this is such a hot take.
Say thank you. Say thank you.
Yeah, that's such a good show there.
A whole season of Star Trek made me quit.
The inordinate number of people who quit Star Trek during Enterprise is incredible.
It's so sad.
It's like it's something like 60% of our guests. Actually, I'd say a good 80% of our guests quit at some point during Enterprise.
I feel so bad for them.
After that, I think the Kelvinverse brought me back. I really love the Kelvinverse for all the wrong reasons, but I really like it. And then I quit Star Trek very recently again. Like Picard made me quit Star Trek. Second season of Strange New World made me quit Star Trek. You know, it's a love-hate relationship.
Have you watched Jesse's video yet, Olivia? The one that we're both in and
I'm in it.
You're not in it.
Oh,
Giraffe in it. No, you need to watch it.
You didn't even tell me about this. First of all, once again, John is mentioning the fact that he's met cool people in America. And every time John does this, I'm putting a little tally on there. And we're no longer friends. Anyway,
to be honest,
get over it eventually.
every time he would show up anywhere, everybody was asking, "Where's Olivia?" So
that's not even a fucking joke.
It's true.
We were at the bar.
You should just like you should just lie and been like, "Oh, she's just around the corner. Like, yeah, she's coming just now. You just missed."
We were.
I think that's the first thing I told you.
You're like, "Where's Olivia?" I was at a bar with you and Abby Bello. You're like, "Where is Olivia?" And I was like, "Well, I don't know."
John, you could have given the people what they wanted. All I needed was
sending you instead
a first class fight.
If you'd like to subscribe to the Patreon, send Olivia to Vegas Fund. We will personally buy Olivia a ticket.
No, I'm planning on being there next year. I simply had already gone on holiday. Sorry, I was in New York weeks before.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect we'll both go this year. Who knows? The Rio Hotel might not be a dump this time.
Oh no, is it gross?
It's not. It's not Travelodge gross, but it's not a resort.
But is it clean?
It's Vegas.
Yeah.
It's Vegas. Where,
it's Vegas. Ooh, it's clean. All I'll say, Olivia, is that there is advice about what part of the building to stay in, and it's correct. Sometimes you're in the Rio Hotel Resort, sometimes you're in a Travelodge in Black.
The episode is so boring that I can't find a thread in my mind of where we are at.
Technically,
at some point it becomes slightly noble. I recognize that.
So let's go. So we're going to just run through the boring bits in points. And anyone put their hands up if they've got something interesting to say? I suspect this is what we're going to get our full "This episode doesn't understand archaeology" rant, which I'm looking forward to.
Oh, yeah.
So, they're studying stars, which is boring. Picard gets jumped. My favourite Lower Decks gag is all of the characters trying to insist that studying stars is interesting when it's clearly not.
It's a running gag, sure.
They keep saying it's interesting when it's clearly really dull.
Yeah, I'd take a 5-second gaze at a star, sure.
Anyway, so Picard gets jumped.
I don't know, I'm a nerd, so I find like all like science interesting, to be honest. I can stay like in the library, in the lab for hours, so I don't know. That's why I'm like prime Trekkie material. You know?
Nah. When science becomes real, I stop listening. I barely believe in evolution.
I need to make clear
that is a joke.
I was going to agree with Olivia, but then I remembered I spent all of this morning reading through PDFs of the source books for the Traveller RPG from the 1980s.
Yeah, I saw you nerding out.
Which is a normal thing that normal people do, we promise.
We're all nerds.
Yeah.
It's a safe, not me, it's a safe space.
I know more about the Federation government than any sane man. And you know what? It's all endorsed by Gene. He told me in a dream. And then
if I was a nerd, would I have the cuntiest Star Trek dolls on my desk?
Would I have the Star Trek technical manual right here? Literally.
And just for the record, I have the Gorn from the original series, Slay doll, and the Andorian from, what is it? The one where they're in the little mental asylum.
Destroy.
When yeah. He has the most iconic fur jacket on. Anyway, visualize that.
Yeah. I'm playing with a Roman prop from Picard. So
yeah, you know. We absolutely love to see it. What we don't love to see is Picard getting jump scared by his asshole of a professor who he somehow views as a father figure. Is it me or is Professor Galen a massive knob?
Yes.
He's horrible. And he is also everything that's wrong in academia in the 90s. Like, you know, I decide who is the next great archaeologist. Yeah. I decide who gets the job. I decide who's the star student. I decide who comes with me to the expedition, even if they're not an archaeologist. It's like everything that's wrong. Nepotism, academia,
it's like,
everything.
It's nothing. It's like, I looked at Professor Gain, I looked at the way he talks, like, wow, you have tenure at Cambridge, don't you? No wonder
he's lost touch of reality. He's that type of academic. That's cool.
Are we sure that, like, you didn't get murdered by an Oxford Don and Morse is going to have to come and investigate you? Like, you're that level of asshole.
How much sort of influence does your, what is it, undergrad lecturer have? He's like fucking 60. Get over it.
Okay,
it's prime academia years, you know? That's where you're like at the most powerful.
Picard is still that enamored with him?
Bald people, as we know, Olivia, don't have a lot of friends.
Oh, now he's just a lonely old man.
Which one? Galen or Picard?
Yeah, both of them.
Both.
That explains everything. But like, yeah, Galen's like, first of all, he, as we discussed at the beginning of the show, he just gives Picard an ancient artifact, an incredibly unique ancient artifact.
It's yours, Jean-Luc.
Yeah.
Like,
of course.
What do you mean?
Well, of course, the absolute cheat is when Galen's like, oh no, that's a 3D print. The real one's in a museum.
Oh, he didn't give him the real one then?
No, well, we...
No, he gives him the real one.
We're meant to believe he's given the real one.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
But I was thinking, you know, what I've heard from the British Museum recently, it does seem realistic. These artifacts are just dipping and diving out the place. I could probably get one if I asked nicely.
My most deranged museum fact is that in some national museums in Britain, you could genuinely, you can sort of, if you know the right people, go in and say, can I have this? And they will probably say yes, because they'll have no idea what's in the box.
Do you think British museums are so... a piece of Avro Lancaster from the Imperial War Museum? Just a wee.
Olivia, you can get a piece of Avro Lancaster if you go wading out into the Norwich flats a Sunday afternoon. If you want a piece of Lancaster, Olivia, just go wandering in East Anglia and find a dodgy field, and one will have crashed there, and you can just take it home.
Yeah, but like it's not like an invaluable artifact. Like
they built like 15,000
for years. I excavated for years. Did I keep stuff? Yeah, like pieces of N4s, like things that nobody wants, you know. And it's true that in museum you have boxes and boxes, but it's
you didn't
bullshit.
Keep the
it's, like,
Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah, that's like a full artifact, like a full thing, like.
Yeah, like Olivia, you can't
significance.
You can't go into the British Museum and ask for the Rosetta Stone.
I feel like I could get the Elgin marbles.
The Elgin marbles.
If I was like,
the main
problem,
of course, with
nicely.
The Elgin marbles is that from what I've been told, there's a great worry that if you start to like move them more than about 5 miles an hour, they might fall apart.
Yeah,
it's a risk.
Which
I'm
is hilarious.
It is a risk.
You know
I'm
why though?
Take.
Do you know
why? Because they just chipped them off the front of it. They didn't take the whole fucking thing, did they?
No, and the British Museum didn't keep them in a good weather. What do you call that? Like weather situation? It's too humid.
They kept
humid
them outside for a bit, didn't they?
Yeah, it's too humid and it destroyed the marble. So
I didn't care about the stuff we stole.
I mean, these things to remember, of course, about all archaeology is it's not a vital historic artifact until someone says it. So the Ottomans used the Acropolis as an ammunition store regularly. Everybody just, because it was just a place you could put shit. And then someone went, oh, fuck, this is quite valuable. And then decided not to give it to the people who should probably have its value. That's just imperialism.
I mean, everything has a price, you know? Let's be honest. If you have enough money, you can buy the coffin, and I'm pretty sure. But that guy just goes around and like gives artifact that he found, like, and you're like, very Indiana Jones, like, it belongs in a museum, you know, like, why is it here? I like also the fact that they're just like smacking that thing and it's like 3,000 years old or something like that, and just like bam bam
smacking it.
Bam bam, like. And you know that in Picard, in like season 3, you see it on his desk. So he kept it. It never went in a museum.
Oh,
he just still has it.
You know what the best part of that is? At the end of Star Trek Generations, when Picard is looking for the Picard family album, he picks it up and throws it back in the debris.
He launches it. He eats it away.
He eats it into the debris.
I mean, classic. Classic British. Classic French. I mean, it's both. No respect.
Is Picard a ghoul list? The longest thread in Reddit history closed after 50,000 comments. But anyway, where were we? So yeah, Galen's basically...
Bad archaeology.
Bad archaeologist. Galen has said like, by the way, I have been fucking around outside of Federation territory for years. I'm going to go and fuck around some more outside of Federation territory. Would you, a decorated captain of the Federation flagship, accomplished diplomat and servant of the state, like to come and like to fuck off with me for a year? And then he's furious when Picard goes, no.
Does he say no outright, or is he like, probably not?
I need to sleep on it. I need to sleep on it. Okay, let's be honest. I did excavation. I worked in Greece and I studied in Greece. I studied in Athens to do my archaeology master. And if today I have a stable job, if somebody came and told me, do you want to, you know, go and fuck around to do archaeology for a year in the middle of nowhere? The answer would be no. No, I'm good. I'm fine. No, absolutely not. This is not a real job. Do not do this, kids. Do not go into archaeology if you don't have, like, heritage money. Don't do it at all.
My dream is being crushed. My 5-year-old me dream is over. I thought
okay,
I'd find the next dinosaur immediately. Day one, I've discovered the next.
Do something.
Now you just get to sue. Now you just get to sue people for making their Mickey Mouse ears too big.
Yeah, fucking listen, bitch.
It's better than me. I'm just unemployable.
History. It's history.
That's why I changed career.
I can't
I
wait to work.
I could have a job.
I can't wait to work in insurance. Anyway, so yeah, Galen asks Picard something absolutely impossible and is then furious when Picard's like, I can't do that.
The option was to be the nerd that he is, or an even bigger nerd. Like, you're already annoying as a starship captain. Like, at least you have something sexy about your job title, but now you can be even more boring.
Yeah, it's like, in? Oh, you could discover Troy. And it's like, I mean, it's not like Picard hasn't had anything massive happen in his career. He's the most accomplished ship on the Federation.
And
he's
discovered like a ton of things, like new planets and stuff. And
he discovered the Iconians. That's in your field. I'm weird, that's not mentioned. He recently just prevented the Romulan takeover of the Klingon. There's so much. It's not like Picard does nothing. Okay.
Like the Borg. Like,
yeah.
Who cares about the Borg? We have papers to write. We have artifacts to catalogue.
One of the funniest things about Star Trek, which I sort of, you know, in my other what Star Trek related works meant talk about a bit, is how basically nobody seems to have any idea what's going on.
At any time.
At any time. Like, nobody's, there's no like body of like public knowledge in the sense that you, Olivia, know what, who Mother Teresa is. We all know who Mother Teresa is and who, you know, Gorbachev is and who Winston Churchill is. There's a body of like, collective knowledge, and in the present day, we all know
general zeitgeist. What's going on?
There's no general political cultural zeitgeist. Like whereas like people don't seem to know that like anything's going on. It's very sort of like early modern in the sense that everybody's going places, but the information is still moving quite slowly.
Have you noticed that they have no museum? Or like very few of them. And if they are museum, they're like private collections or propaganda museum, like the Starfleet Museum. Get out of here. I know what that is. There's no university except like Starfleet Academy. You're like, what's going on?
The Academy's mentioned. Oxford and Cambridge exist because they are mentioned.
Right.
Yeah.
Data goes to Cambridge. But, you know, it's the odd point. I mean, the government's in Paris, but where the fuck is the Sorbonne?
We don't know. And they're museum-wise, also like only reading Shakespeare. There's nothing
only
else.
Only reading Shakespeare.
Well, there's, you know like, what? Reading Shakespeare. Let's
But here's
happen.
The point, which is that I feel like there'd all be very weird people if Picard was reading Camus in the evening. He'd probably be a bit more despondent.
Well, I don't want to be honest, I've never read Shakespeare. Like, I mean, I know Shakespeare, but I've never like been like, oh, I'm gonna read Shakespeare. Like, I read Molière. I read Victor Hugo. I don't know.
Molière's fun. But I mean, you're right. I mean, the museum one has made me think because, like, we get the Starfleet Museum, which is also distinct from the Air and Space Collection because they're said as being separate things. Side note: this is the general thing: is that other museums should exist. There should be a museum of the Federation. There should be, you know, museums of oppressed people. There should be more. There are more interesting stories. You don't have to always go back to the Starfleet Museum.
Where are the museums of our times? Did they crumble? Have they put the museums in other museums?
Yeah, that's usually what happens to museums, Olivia. R.I.P. They form like a, what do you call it? A Mecca museum, like a neon, like a Evangelion.
I'm imagining museums. Sort of like the vault they put on Chernobyl.
They trap the history inside with Jared Harris. So he can never escape.
I mean, that's why no one knows what's going on, John.
Now Jared Harris gets to be a sad boy forever under the concrete. But it's like, because it's not, he's not, Galen's not acting on behalf of the museum. You see, why does Starfleet Academy just let an accomplished archaeologist fuck around on their payroll?
Yeah, there's no board of directors. There's no decision making. There's no oversight. Like that guy just like go around, dig up holes and then like gives artifact and just try to get the Enterprise because he knows the captain. It's wild.
You see, it would be ridiculous, but it is basically how archaeology worked until the 1940s. So,
yeah, but that's written in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have an excuse, do they?
Yeah, that's definitely not how it works. And it's fun because in Lower Decks, they kind of like try to make it up with like Mariner and Petra Aberdeen, and they do work under Picard. So that's like, I don't know. But they're still doing Indiana Jones shit, so I don't know. Stealing stuff.
Yeah, well, the whole Petra Aberdeen shit, she steals things from museums that aren't meant to be in the museums. It's like, is that better?
I don't think it's better, but it's a step towards the right thing.
Yeah. Who is the arbiter of what is the right museum? Anyway, let's not debate the ethics of stealing from the British Museum, because I have no opinions except that it's very funny.
I think it's hilarious. And also, I think more and more obvious things are missing.
I think we should steal the whole museum.
Crime.
The building. We'll leave the artifacts. We're taking the building.
Do you know that one statue in the V&A of like the bull, like the very sexual one? I would steal that.
You want the naked guy and the bull?
Yeah, because that's an iconic statue. I don't know what's going on there. I've never looked into it, but I'd take it.
Fine. In that case, there's like three portraits in the National Portrait Gallery I'd hypothetically want. But anyway. Other point of advice for any listener who is visiting London, if you go into the British Museum, which I largely say don't, because it's mainly just you versus every tour group in London at the same time.
It's too big. It's horrible to be there.
But if you do go, go in, go upstairs to the right where there's the Sutton Hoo collection, and then the Romano...
The English section.
No. Okay, shut up. It's the Sutton Hoo collection, which is, of course, the most important archaeological find in English history. Fuck all the stuff we stole. And then if you go in past it to the left on the top floor, there's the Romano British collection, which is, once again, shit from Britain. No one stole this from anywhere. It's like, that's all the interesting stuff. Fuck the Rosetta Stone.
If you go there, you're probably going to see John there. I don't know if that's a drawing for you guys.
No, I won't be there. I'll probably be at, like, the Greenwich Maritime Museum. That's a nice museum. Nothing in this. Oh, actually, we stole stuff from the Spanish, but that's fine.
Yeah, you can steal from other Europeans. That's, like, legit.
Yeah, I think. Anyway, Star Trek. So Picard says no to his daddy issues fake dad. Who then calls him a Roman centurion, which I feel like is meant to be an insult.
I don't
think about Rome enough to know.
Wow.
Do you think about the Roman Empire every day?
No, I do think about the United Federation of Planets every day.
Oh, that's another level on nerd.
Yeah, it's much more lonely, but gayer.
Iconic.
Yeah. So his fake dad says no, disappears, and then his fake dagger's blown up by a bunch of Eurydians, which, you know, is a thing that normally happens to archaeologists. They get attacked by mercenaries.
Did Indiana it make Jones you now. Feel cooler as like a trained archaeologist that you could have this high stakes career? You're kind of like a spy. You're like James Bond.
Well, I mean, joke aside, archaeologists do get shot. Like,
yeah,
for example, like, you know, archaeology is a big, and history is a big political token. So it does happen. I was lucky enough that I just worked in very safe and boring places. So it never happened to me. But people get like very offended when you start to dig up in their land. So can happen. But I never thought I was going to. Yeah, I never thought I was going to get shot, like, by Eurydians. That, by the way, he's deaf. Like, the guy has a hole in the middle of his chest, but he's still alive. But they can't do nothing. And then he just croaks on the table by like, saying his last words. Drama.
But yeah, well, his last words are like, oh, I was too harsh. Yeah,
I'm sorry, I was too mean.
And obviously, I mean, who has that as their, like, dying thought when you've had such
somebody
violent,
who was too somebody who was too harsh, Olivia.
Yeah, but, like, that means he could have said it that day when he was not injured. He's clearly had it on
I hate to say this, Olivia, but how many near-death or actual death experiences have you had?
Wow, what if I was traumatized? What if I was... Oh, actually, I can't think of anything.
Yeah,
and I hope I never do.
Good, because I hope you live a long and happy life.
When you go near like near-death experience, it happened to me and I was like, is it it? Do you think it's it? Like... is it it? And it was not it, obviously.
I think most people are focusing on
that's
going
to be my last thought. Like, is it it?
I think most people are focusing on not shitting themselves, which I think is a noble endeavor.
Well, if I'm dying, that's not my problem.
I mean, it very much is.
It's not my problem.
It's one of the few things in life that is a massive issue to you.
How? I'm dead.
Well, not if you're dying. You're in the process. You might
well,
not die.
If it's inevitable, it's not my problem.
Aren't we all dying, though, by definition? You know?
I haven't had enough whiskey for this conversation.
My soul is ascending. I'm in a higher form, and it's all good for me.
So, Professor Galen left Picard as a gift some numbers, which is great. Great for Galen. And instead of getting on with his job and going and stopping a war or whatever the diplomatic conference is,
they're going to a conference, so I don't know, remember what. Like, they're already late.
Conference they're already late for, which he blows off to go and look at some planets, one of which is already dying. And then it's like, who needs to go to the diplomatic conference? Let's follow this up. And then they find out that the numbers are actually DNA strands from across the galaxy that are all compatible.
Why did he have to be so enigmatic? Was there a reason? Or was he just being a bitch?
Well, because people are weird about knowledge.
Yeah.
Just ask people who still believe in polygenesis.
Yeah, or giants. Like, have you noticed that? Like, there's a big like trend of people believing in giants, and you're just like, why?
The giants one is weird. I think the polygenesis one is even more disturbing, because the giants is just people like to believe in cryptids, whereas the polygenesis is just, wow, you people really will find a way to make Victorian racism work. It's like, no, you don't need to be like, actually, well, you see, Native Americans aren't descended from Europeans. It's like, well, they're not, but they are, but we're all from the same. The moment you start saying different origins, I no longer want to have the conversation with you. The giants is strange. The giants is just on the funny. The giants is funny. It's just not. It's on the border between you just actually being insane and.
Yeah, but like there's this like real like belief that scientists are hiding stuff, which like Star Trek kind of reinforced in that episode. Like, there's no real reason to be like, oh, I know something and I won't tell you. Like, it's archaeology. Like,
what if he just wants to be sexy and mysterious? Like, actually, now I'm thinking about
international woman of mystery. Yeah.
usually when scientists hide knowledge, it's because they've done something like figure out how to split the atom.
Yeah.
Like, because they think it's going to get people killed, or they think someone's going to be very unethical with it. So I guess that's what Galen thinks, but like, it doesn't follow up, it doesn't meet with the payoff.
He's a weird old guy. Like, that's
what he does. Has he got dementia? Do we think he's got dementia?
I think so, because he's kind of like angry for no reason. And
that's,
I mean,
just an old white man. That's just,
yeah.
Olivia, a lot of old white men do just have dementia.
And they stay in power for another, like, 20 years.
Venn diagram.
I mean, it's a Venn diagram, Olivia. It's like, I don't know what to tell you.
Fix it, John. Fix society.
No.
Wow. Do you hear that, guys? He said no to fixing society.
I said no.
That's on the record.
Everyone would be mad at me if I tried to fix society, because I do things they don't like make them ride in buses.
Like, make them take a bus.
That's how you fix society, with buses?
I would, largely, yes.
More trains and more buses, honestly.
If everybody rode public transport and had to coexist in social spaces, people would just be nicer.
You know where I live, right? Like,
yeah, well,
where's that?
San Diego. There's no public transportation. Zero.
I feel like I would be depressed. No, wait. How is there no public transportation?
Olivia, they don't even have sidewalks.
Then I have to learn to drive. I can't drive. This is the issue.
Even Vegas had sidewalks. They were boiling, but they were there.
What do you mean there's no sidewalk?
There's no sidewalks.
So you can't take public transport and you can't walk?
No.
Yes.
So I guess I just die.
Bear in mind, America is a country which doesn't make the Thatcher thing that, like, if you ride a bus regularly, you must have failed.
It's a way to, like, keep poor people poor, because then you cannot get a job and you cannot go to a job. And it's also a good way to keep society very separated, because then you don't see anybody except the people you work with or the people you live with. So you can be scared about anybody else.
So next time I'm on, like, my morning commute with 60 other corporate people smashed into the carriage, I'm just going to be grateful for the shared experience.
Exactly.
I mean,
we're all suffering together.
Yeah. I mean, I still think that is my unifying theory of everything. If people have to travel and socialize together, they're nicer overall.
Yeah.
Like, because it forces you not to see other people as people when you can see they're just having equally a shit time as you.
Well, actually, a lot of wholesome, fun things like happen when you're traveling on public transport. Like when you're with friends and like it's like maybe like a time where everyone's going on a night out. That's really cute. Like when I was going to my
Oh, look at me.
Yesterday.
I'm Olivia.
It's random people that you
nice
see.
Friends. I wasn't at work on a Saturday.
I'm talking
evening.
About seeing like other friendship groups and everyone's just
me,
having a
you?
Good time.
Huh? You didn't see me. You didn't come and see me at work, did you?
I see you at work. Don't
You're not anymore
because
I quit.
Yeah, I
don't
know why
know
we're talking
there.
About public transportation. How did we get
that? John and I are going to have a fight for 5 minutes.
Olivia asked me to fix the world, but it's okay. Before I fix the world with public transport, I'm going to finish this podcast. Apparently, the DNA strands are actually a molecular algorithm for a program to do something, which is dumb.
It's dumb and it's dangerous. You know what I'm going to say.
You can't just DNA... Well, you can't just make DNA say shit. Is this where we get a bit weirdly eugenicist?
Oh, again? Fucking Star Trek again?
Are we gene modding? Are we gene modding, Giraffe?
We're totally gene modding. And
Ah, great.
And also, it's intelligent design, which I fucking hate. And Star Trek needs to stop doing this. There's no great plan. There's none, zero. Like, nobody, like, there's nothing hidden in our DNA. It's again, very eugenicist. Like, if you don't have that message in your DNA, then, like, you're not seated. Like, what does that even mean? Like, this is, like, 90s bullshit. The thing that pisses me off is that they still do it in 2023, to be honest. But that's another conversation. Again, watch the video where... John and
oh
I,
yeah, Don yeah, Don. I know what you mean. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Wait,
okay,
what is
yeah.
the context of you guys in this video? What's happening?
It's a Strangely Well season 2 review by friend of the show Jesse Gender.
Are you like just being interviewed casually, like?
Yes, that's correct.
In the lobby or something, or
no,
you guys?
No, I was at Hyde's house. I wore a tie.
You're always True. Wearing a tie. Are you wearing a tie right now?
No, it's a collarless shirt.
Were you wearing a tie at any point today?
No.
Okay. We'll let him off this time.
I mean, I can put one on. Okay, anyway. What
so
was I going to
DNA
say?
Take.
Yes. Here's the thing, which is, as a writer, I understand the place of, like, everybody's, you know, we're going to have the secret DNA code. As a person, I find the concept of gene modding deeply odd. That's even before we get to, like, intelligent design, which is like, sure. I mean, my main attitude towards intelligent design is if it was truly intelligent design, God wouldn't let us spot it. The whole point would be, if the whole point of intelligent design is to let everyone figure it out on their own, why would he leave clues? Or they? Well, I'm a Catholic. I'm a Catholic.
What is
I don't
they,
have to
them?
Understand.
You are misgendering God.
I don't have to understand religious philosophy. I'm a Catholic. I just have to do what the Pope said.
God is a they, them, bad.
All these Protestants messing around with philosophy. No, the Pope says that God is this. Now, great, fantastic. I can wear a condom. It's beautiful.
Fine.
I just do what the Pope says. It's really easy.
I don't have anything to contribute to that line of questioning, sir. Yeah,
like, why would you bother being a Protestant when you could just, like, it's so, I mean, this is obviously a conversation in sarcasm, and my religious beliefs are very minimal at best.
I'm too French for this.
Yeah, you are from the country that decided to make atheism a national religion.
Secularism.
Secularism a national religion, which is not better.
It's a bit better. It's like, you can do whatever you want, but, like, don't bother anybody with it.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want, just don't wear a headscarf.
Yeah. It's like, you do whatever you want, unless
it's
you're
like,
Algerian.
As long as nobody sees you, you're good.
You can do what you want.
France, a tad better
that.
Than atheism, I don't know. Like,
you can do what you
like...
want, unless you're Algerian, in which case we got issues.
It's okay.
I'm
it's
a friend who lives in the
far.
U.S. You know, it's hard. It's complicated everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember the secularism as discovered policy is better than the alternative. I mean, then you've got the third way, which is England, where we have a state church no one pays attention to and no
I
one goes
it
to.
Exists.
People just forget that we have a state church.
That's the one with the less fancy.
No,
churches,
we don't.
Right?
They've got rid of church rates. Like, you
it's
don't.
It's just
pay...
sort of a vibe like the monarchy.
Like, you don't you no longer actually contribute economically to the existence of the Church of England anymore.
Yeah, I don't think they would.
There's
get
a
away
church
with...
tax?
They used to be.
When?
Until, like, the 19th... You know what? I'm going to check on their abolished church rates.
Oh, no. We have to cut this out. We have.
No, it's staying in.
I like how this conversation goes everywhere. It's very entertaining.
The compulsory levying of the church rate was abolished by statute in 1868.
1868.
It predates French secular policy. However, it remains on a voluntary basis in many parishes. Basically, if you want to pay the church money, you can.
When they say on a voluntary basis, I'm talking about when they take your little hat around, they're like, give me some coins.
No.
Okay. Wait, I'm remembering something from property law where it's like, there's something called, like, chancel repair liability.
Yeah,
where you have
that's
to
what
contribute.
I was talking about. Yeah, if a church says, you need the roof falling in, we want some money, you have to give it. But they usually don't do that because it just reminds
them. You're within the boundaries of a parish church built before 1536.
Like the state? Like, who has to give the money? Like, random people or like the state? Like, whoa.
As Olivia said, if you lived within the boundaries of the parish and the
church
is before. Church
built before 1536. So I don't know.
Which happens.
That's
happens.
That's actually a lot of churches
yeah.
in England, that's like, it's something like 100 churches.
I have to say, I've guessed it on many Star Trek podcasts, and this is the wildest one.
Thank you.
Yeah, did it again.
Another
did. Dirge Levies, famously something in the Star Trek episode, The Chase. What's the point of a podcast if you stay on topic? You might as well listen to an audio bit. Anyway, they decide to go to Maximum Warp for science to go and find a planet that hasn't been nuked. And they run into the Cardassians because fuck those guys. And she's got two ships and she's going to be a massive asshole about the fact she's got two ships. Yeah. Two ships, by the way, which canonically have been proved to not be able to fight the Enterprise and win.
I mean, you got to go in with confidence, Sean. You got to fake it till you make it.
The real question, Liv, for both of you, is she a girl boss? Is this girl a girl boss?
Every time I see a Cardassian, they trigger me into thinking of Ducat, with the exception of Garak, who is just a bad bitch. So I guess what I'm saying is I discriminate against Cardassians.
I agree. Like, she's a girl boss, but she's still a fascist. So
are we calling it girl boss or girl boss?
Girl boss.
Girl boss.
I want that a shirt.
Brackets derogatory.
Oh my god, girl boss derogatory. Anyway, so he's here, and so are the Klingons, who are being just as fucking horrible. Except that Picard then gets them all to admit that they are looking for this the Galen Da Vinci code in people's cells.
Ever explained why these other people are looking for the same thing? Like, Picard is into archaeology. He wants, like, he has his mentor to you know, he has to make his legend or whatever. But like the other guys involved in this, like, is it ever explained why the hell they're doing this? I don't think so. They're just here.
No, the Klingons think it's a weapon, and the Cardassians think it's a code for a power source.
Okay, so everybody sees cool stuff except Picard, who think it's archaeology.
It's knowledge for the sake of knowledge, which is famously a reason people do things.
That is hilarious that's his reason.
He's a fucking dweeb.
Can we appreciate that he drags 500 people that are on the Enterprise with him into this?
Oh, please, he drags 1,100 people. He drags 1,100 people. It's worse.
It's worse. I mean, imagine the lower deckers would just think they're going to a conference and they're going to be able to fuck around on the planet, and they end up on a thing with Cardassians and they have no idea.
You see why I've never joined Starfleet? They're not going to see me. I'll be chilling.
Yeah, exactly.
On shore.
This is the thing about the Enterprise is it is so big that you could spend a week in the Arboretum. It's like, so what's been happening? It's like, yeah, we stopped a war, and then we found the secret to all intelligent life in the galaxy. And it's like, what did you do? Well, I had a bit of pot and fell asleep and woke up 3 days later.
There's no way mentally I'd be okay on the ship. I don't want to be like on a ship where I can get lost for a week. I'm gonna start losing grip on reality. I'm going to start
where
going,
you don't see the sun, where you don't see the sky.
Yeah, I'm going to start going a bit Twilight Zone, and I'm probably going to, I don't know.
Just go around the corner and Rod Serling's just there. Hello, Olivia. Welcome to the Twilight
Zone. A little
bit
of like a yellow wallpaper moment, I don't know.
Yeah. You go around the corner and it's suddenly the 70s.
And he has no problem also like dragging the flagship of the Federation just like on a side quest when... like without contacting anybody, without saying anything to anybody, just because my former teacher died and he was mean to me, so I going off grid. Like,
can I imagine like somewhere back at Starfleet, you've got like admirals, you've got like Harris and Henry. It's like, so why has the conference been delayed? Oh yeah, Picard decided to go and follow up on some archaeologist shit. There's something like a moment. It's like, aren't we meant to defend the Federation? It's like, yeah. So what happens if we decide to do that while we were being invaded? I really couldn't tell you, Bob. I guess we just run the white flag up. I don't know.
He still has his job.
You see, say what you want about Jim Kirk, but he was very good at not fucking off halfway through a job.
I mean,
good for him.
But I mean, the only time he did do that was when Spock died, and he could bring him back.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
and there were actual consequences for that.
If Spock dies, you drop everything. Naturally.
I mean, isn't he like supposed like to go and deliver vaccines in one episode and decide to not do it because he has like, isn't it in Amok time where he has to bring Spock to Vulcan because Spock is dying and like fuck the vaccines or something like this?
I thought Spock loses his mind and like sabotages the ship.
Yeah, Amok time is funnier because basically, okay, are we ready for this? I'm gonna draw a diagram.
Oh my god.
Oh, drawing time.
Right. So they're in Amok time.
Well, I'm keeping all this in the edit. Right. Cannot see anything. Yeah.
So at Amok time, the Enterprise is going to Altair because there's a presidential inauguration there and Starfleet is showing the flag. So, and the problem is that Altair, as you can see, wrong direction to Vulcan. You can't see, you're listening to us in audio format.
We believe
drawing
you.
Your own diagram. So basically what happens is that the ship is going and then Spock, and then Kirk's like, we're going to go to Vulcan. And then Admiral Cormac's like, no, you have to go to Altair. And then Spock sends the ship, like, orders the ship to go to Vulcan. And Spock's like, Kirk's like, you can't just order the ship to go to Vulcan. You have to go to Altair. And then Spock starts to die because the birds or the bees are not Vulcan.
He's a very horny boy.
So Kirk orders the ship to Vulcan. The best part, of course, being they've done this so much that when Kirk calls Chekhov to program the director for Vulcan, Chekhov's already done it.
Okay, my bad. Wrong episode.
Anyway, end of this.
It was obsession.
See what you've done? Now John's doing
it. It was obsession. The obsession is supposed to go and deliver vaccines, and he stops because he wants to stop a cloud that murdered its friend.
It's murdered other people too. It murdered most of the crew of the
Yeah, but he still has vaccines to deliver, and he's just like, fuck the vaccines, fuck these people, I'm gonna go.
Yeah, if that
and
was my
basically chase
shot,
cloud.
And it's May 2020 or whenever the fucking vaccine came out, I'm gonna be mad.
Captain Kirk stopped you joining Eat Out to help out.
Yeah, I want my Wagamama.
Extremely British reference. Thank you, everyone. Back to the podcast, which is over an hour long. Basically, everybody grudgingly agrees to work together, and then the Klingon captain decides to fight Data for some fucking reason.
Data is just chilling in the lounge, by the way, like intent forward, and that guy like just comes and is like, "I'm gonna try to punch you in the face." I was like, "Rude! Leave this guy alone."
And then he tries to bribe him, which is even weirder.
It was, I would say it was an unnecessary scene, but at least I got to see Data. He's a cute little
guy. I didn't know you were a Data person.
I love Data. He's a cute little guy. He's just a little guy, John.
There's a lot of unnecessary scenes in that episode, to be honest.
It's just a series of events in which very little happens. Except that, of course, the Cardassians then fuck around with the Enterprise and the Klingon ship and try and knock out their engine before they get to go to the final planet where they'll figure everything out. But Geordi managed to solve it because Geordi's competent. That's the extent of Geordi's appearance in the episode, is that he's in two scenes where he's competent.
Geordi and Beverly Crusher are the two people in that episode who actually get shit done.
Yeah. Picard just kind of gets to mull over the philosophy and stakes available and the fact that his surrogate dad is dead. Anyway, they go to this ancient urban planet, ocean planet, where there might be DNA on the surface, the ocean floor, and then the Cardassians show up, and the Romulans, who were just told have been here the whole time.
I like the Romulans because they were just like, they let them like do their thing. They just cloaked and like wait for it and just follow calmly. I respect that.
Lazy
I respect the hustle.
Motherfuckers.
If anything, it feels like a Lower Decks gag that the whole plot happens and then the Romulans just show up at the end and like, aha, we were here all along.
Yeah, because they needed the fourth part. And yeah. I always thought like the Romulan had the fourth part and were just waiting for it, but no, not even. They were just
not even that. Like, Beverly gets the fourth part by scraping it off the wall. And
not a thing, by the way. No DNA in stones. Not a thing. Not a scientific thing. Like, it's not happening.
Yeah, it was a very odd... So maybe some of it isn't entirely fossilized. It's like, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's... Okay, so I asked because I live with a paleontologist, so I was like, is that a thing? Can you find DNA in fossils? Which... Basically, you can, but like not by scrapping the surface like this. And in the 90s, you could not. Like, it's a very recent development in, you know, archaeology and paleontology that you can actually do that. But sure, it's the future. Why not?
If I put the rock in like a blender? Would the DNA come out like a kind of a smoothie?
Sure.
That's my legit question.
What kind of blender do you have that blends rock?
I'm going to go to an archaeology conference and like queue up to ask that question.
Do it. Do it and FaceTime me.
You'll be there. You'll be on the panel.
Like later middle-aged men sort of stare at you. Well, like I guess sort of goes, well, I mean, well, that's a question.
Oh, but like, oh, you can't answer the question? Okay.
What are you hiding?
Giants.
Giants. It's always that. Why are they hiding the giants? I don't know. But yeah, so Crusher scrapes the rock and then it reprograms Picard's tricorder. And now the female changeling is here to tell you about how they've seen of the galaxy because they were lonely. Which, you know, we've all been lonely in our time, but we've never...
You've never seen anything, John?
I've never...
disseminating seeds all around the place because you were lonely. Never happened.
Yeah. Let's talk about
it. Tell us more. Tell us.
What if we don't talk about this? What if we talk about something else? I'll go back to talking about church lobby. I'll fucking do it.
When does the episode end?
Now,
basically,
everyone, some
kumbaya bullshit happens at the end of the episode, which is wrong.
Okay. You know what? I think it's funny because you have like this alien's like, you know, I hope that in finding out you're all actually related, you'll all actually be happy and get on with each other. Let me check. It's like, yeah, this is 4 years before the Dominion War starts.
Yeah.
And the alien's
exactly.
Like, I hope you all get on together forever.
Cool.
And
cool.
The Cardassian people are 7 years away from being genocided.
And, you know, the thing that is funny is that since when being from the same family means that you get along?
Have these guys never heard of the Irish? I mean, the only nice bit at the end is the Romulan commander basically going, yeah, well, maybe we'll get on at some point. That's nice. I like that. And I also like that line because it is vindicated by Discovery Season 3.
And it's very also, you know, TOS when, like, in another life, we could have been friends. Like, I respect that about the Romulans. Like, they respect the Federation. Like, you know, they're not totally dumb asses. They're not totally... They're assholes, but they're not totally dumb. That's why I like the Romulans.
Yeah, it gives the Romulans... It somehow, in that literally, that minute of the Romulan at the end has more depth than the entire rest of the episode.
And then we never speak about this again. Like, they found out that every life in the galaxy was seeded by a race of alien, and it, like, never goes anywhere. It's the end. They buried it.
It is the exact same.
Oh, it could never come back up ever again.
Nah.
Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah. It is literally... I think preservers get mentioned more. Remember the preservers?
What the hell are the preservers?
You know that... Remember that time Captain Kirk went all dances with wolves and thought he was an American, he was an indigenous American?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the preservers are the people who took the First Nation people off of Earth and put them on another planet.
I have no memory of that. I think I blocked
it. I unfortunately have memories of that, yeah.
The preservers were a super race that passed through the galaxy rescuing primitive cultures which were in danger of extinction and seeding them. This is a Spock quote. I mean,
in the chase, they also speak about primitive cultures. Like, and, oh, the Klingons just, like, erase a planet because...
Is it like White Klingon Savior, the ultimate story? Like,
The preservers, why are they doing it?
Why not?
Are they actually going to, like, go extinct if they don't save them?
Well, I guess it's the idea is that they are trying to... That's the idea, is they're trying to stop plant, they're trying to stop save communities that would have been wiped out. The problem is that everything about the preservers is based on what writers have written about them in the last 50 years, because the episode is so deliberately and ridiculously vague. It's not a well-written episode.
I mean, it's shitty anthropology, which is very on-brand for Star Trek, so why not? I don't know. Like, the one, like, who watches the Watchers? Like, same kind of thing. Gonna save primitive cultures.
Yeah.
It's not a thing again. Culture is not primitive.
Yeah, that's not how... Yeah.
Anyway, the chase.
Anyway, the episode ends. Let's do some... I will rattle through some trivia quickly.
Okay.
Ron Moore originally wrote this episode that was a lot more manic and comedic, and everybody thought it was shit, and it had the Ferengi in it, and there was a sequence in which Riker beamed over to this cramped, tiny little shuttle where everybody's yelling and trying to find thing, and the guy's dead. And then they zip away and we're off and running with It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World. It would have been more comedic. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? They're going to run this as a comedy.
No. Don't try that.
No. And you know what? That's what Strange New World did. Like a DNS story in a comedy cleanse, and it was a very, very bad idea. So
yeah. You know, we haven't obviously haven't had enough sidebars in this episode. So we're just gonna say one now. It would still be funny to do a 60s wacky in-law comedy.
Absolutely.
If they hadn't split it in two. And it was just that Spock will literally never be able to be Vulcan enough, these people, to the extent that they're pulling like ancient Vulcan rituals out their ass to try and prove that he's not Vulcan enough.
Question about cultures, like that would have been funny. The problem is that associating culture and DNA is a big no-no.
And it, because we're not going to have this conversation here, because this episode is now an hour and 10 minutes long.
Hey, listen, it's your fault, okay?
It is absolutely. I'm going to say this. John
I came
has done
here to say that I hated that episode and that it was a bad episode, and then we spoke about everything else.
Now you've learned.
John
about
has drawn a
time.
Diagram. John has gone off on church taxes. John has.
You know,
give you a tour of the British
it.
Museum.
Yeah, look me in the eyes and tell me you didn't enjoy it.
Listen, it's what the podcast is for.
Yeah, exactly.
We gotta have a sidebar.
Jonathan Frakes was in this episode. He directed this episode. He was obviously in this episode. He directed this episode.
I stopped paying attention. Never mind.
The production staff dubbed this the most Gene Roddenberry episode they did.
Fuck you.
It's very Gene Kumbaya's bullshit. Again.
I mean, here's my other point, of course, is that if Gene had delivered this episode, stuff would have happened and it would have had some convictions behind the Kumbaya. Like,
yeah.
At least in the Omega Glory, when it's all fucking horrible and racist, he then has a conviction behind the whole US Constitution thing. Like, it's bullshit,
true.
But at least he kind of puts his whole Gene Roddenberry-acy behind it.
His genus-y.
That was
keeping that in for sure.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Patrick's gonna love you.
Yeah, he put his whole genus-y behind E. Plemnista in a way that they did not put their whole Rick Burmacy behind.
No, this. Now it's done.
No.
His Rick Burmacy. John's cancelled. This episode is crazy. John's done. He's
what
over.
Is happening?
I'm
it's
so
the end.
Tired.
Is that because I'm here? Is that the effect I have on you, John? Like, what is this?
No,
this is how it always is.
I'm always like this. What those of you who encounter me at Star Trek Vegas don't realize is that when you put me and Olivia together, there's like this. This is matter antimatter reaction of feral energy.
The issue, it's the spirit of Gene's vision. It is a magical thing that I just simply cannot explain.
You know, I have your shirt, right? The one with Gene Vision and the arrow. I wear it all the time.
Iconic.
It's
the best.
Want to say
we're all Gene's vision.
I also have the one with like alien sex. Was that yours? Yeah, it was.
Yes, that's ours.
Yes, I also have this one.
These are the classics. These are the OGs.
Classics. Yeah.
Nice. And if you're listening to this podcast and like, I would like to buy this shirt, you can go to our Twitter at Quit Star Trek Pod and buy the shirts, and the proceeds go to the Trevor Project LGBT Youth Charity. See, that was a sidebar with a purpose.
And they're very good quality, I have to say. I bought it like a year ago, 2 years ago. I don't know. And perfect.
Still bright, still shiny. Just like Gene himself.
Anyway, trivia.
that's the end of the trivia. Are we quitting this episode?
Yes.
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 Okay,
yes.
We got that over with quickly. Next. Yeah, I think we yes. all know why. It's just nuts.
It's bad.
And nothing happens, and that is weird.
And is the episode trip nippable?
Obviously. Olivia, please explain. You have to explain now, because
trip nips are based on the Enterprise episode Unexpected, in which Trip Tucker gains extra nipples when he becomes pregnant. So that's very cursed. That's a very cursed thing to happen. And our scale is 0 to 10, 10 trip nips, a very cursed episode. Hated that. 10 trip nips up on there. But, you know, maybe it wasn't that bad. 2 trip nips. You'd be fine with 2 extra trip nips, right? And that is our scale.
I think it's very trip nippable, but mainly because it brings about like a lot of dangerous pseudo-scientific ideas.
This is very serious for the trip nip scale, but it has to be.
That's why I'm like... Like trip nips, like, you know, it's fun, and like, I don't know, I would say unlike the fun trip nip side, I'd say it's a 4.
It's a 4. You see,
get
it. I was giving it a 4 because it goes up in being deranged for all the pseudoscientific bullshit, and it goes back down because it's just boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So I think it settles at 4 because the pseudoscience is nuts and is not as nice as they want it to be. And yeah. But then nothing happens.
Exactly. There's no like male preg.
there's no preg.
Mask. Oh, by the way, the same guy wrote Masks. The same writer. Yeah.
This has ruined my life.
Oh, Germanovsky.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who, like, they wrote half of Star Trek, so.
This is so fucked up. I love Masks. Sorry. Masks is high art. And
I know, I love it too.
This.
He's fact-checking me. John is fact-checking me, but I'm pretty
sure.
No,
you are correct. No, you are 100% correct. I was just checking to see whether Ron Moore wrote Masks, because that would be hilarious, but he did not.
And he wrote also Lethe in Discovery, which is a good episode. I mean, I like
Lethe is great, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he wrote like some interesting stuff and some very weird stuff.
I'm upset.
So, Olivia, what
I just assumed that Masks was written by a perfect genius who can do no wrong. But anyway, do we have time for us to do the high art scale? It will take.
We're doing the high art scale, Olivia. We've committed.
I just
too
feel
hard
bad that we're taking all this time.
Sunday, I'm done doing anything. This is everybody's very excited that I'm on I Quit Star Trek. By the way, we go live every Thursday, and I said that on Thursday. I was like, oh, I'm gonna be like on I Quit Star Trek, and like perfect. Half the people were like, yes, and the other half was like, what is it? I'm gonna check it out. So
what is it? And then
we're so back. Yeah,
you're so back.
Baby. We're so back.
The high art scale is my personal collection of gems. It is basically it's submitting to me and my objective tastes what could be in the Hall of Fame. There is no rhyme or reason other than my own dictatorship. So examples of the high art list are Masks, as we've said, an iconic episode. I love Spock's brain. That's obviously high art. That little TOS episode with my fancy guy in the jacket. John, name.
What other ones we got? We've got The Storyteller. We've got Blink of an Eye. We've got Move Along Home. We've got The Empath.
Power episode. We have the same taste. I'm here with you. I respect that.
So based on my very clear criteria, do you have anything to submit to the Hall of Fame?
Like any episode?
Any episode.
Yeah, I'm taking possibility. So you already said Move Along Home, which is one of my favorites. And Spock's Brain was also, I would submit my favorite episode of all time, which is The Enterprise Incident.
Which one's that? Please explain.
That's the one with the Romulan commander. The one where Spock has sex.
Well, the one where Spock almost gets laid by a Romulan commander. And there's a lot of finger play.
Spock fucks for King and Country. It's okay. It's for King and Country.
Yeah.
Or specifically for Federation and Union. It's great. It's a great. It's one of the.
There's a real boss girl energy. Real like. Like,
this bitch. Slay. Yeah. Wait, I can't see it.
Yeah, this
slay.
One.
Yeah. It is genuinely one of the top 10 Star Trek episodes of all time. It's just great. The music's great.
The story is good. The characters are incredible.
We have that girl boss Romulan. We have Kurt dressed as a Romulan. I mean, that's getting in there. That's gonna
there's
be
a, and there's a lot of hand touching. Like,
a lot of fingering. Great.
Yes.
Thanks.
In. Done. Oh my gosh, I'm looking at her and she's got knee high boots and a mini skirt. She's the queen.
Yeah, and that episode, like, first of all, aired on what will become what became my birthday. So.
God, really? That's incredible.
Yeah, and this is the Roman commander I cosplayed for Star Trek Day also. So it's like very special to me.
Yeah,
very important episode to me.
I mean, that's an incredible cosplay. Having seen it in person now, it's so good.
Thank you.
Olivia, you've made plans looking at that cosplay, haven't you?
Which cosplay is that?
The Roman commander. You've made plans now, haven't you?
I mean, I could see me wearing that casually as a look.
I've made three versions of it and wore it, sir, like at like events and so on. I still have the Roman prosthetics like on my wall here.
High art list has been embellished once more.
I mean, I'm not allowed to disagree with the choices, but I weren't here. So
it's a canon
great.
Event. Everything that is made.
Gene told you they need a backflip.
Gene told me that, and he was actually wearing two sunglasses at the time. He took that sunglass pair off and revealed another pair, which was even more slay. And he said, "You're right, always."
And then he told you couldn't have gay people on television.
Fake news. How dare you? You know nothing of Gene.
But so there, that was The Chase, an episode which did not feel like a chase at all. If anything, it felt like being stuck on a delayed train. But Thank you so much for joining us, Giraffe. It has been a long-winded pleasure.
It's been a roller coaster ride. I will be back for any time. You just call me, please.
Yeah. And where can people find you, Giraffe?
Thank you, Giraffe. Everybody can find me every Thursday night. We're live with Strange New Pod. We review all Star Trek on YouTube at Strange New Pod. And if you want to find me, I'm at lyrical underscore giraffe, giraffe with one F because it's French. And I mostly post about cosplay and Star Trek.
Fantastic. Ooh. And if, you know, I know we've picked up some new returning listeners, some new listeners recently. Welcome to the nightmare. I hope you're okay. You can follow us at Quit Star Trek Pod or on Twitter. I might also make us a Tumblr. I feel like we're deranged enough for
Don't
a Tumblr.
Make a Tumblr, dear
making
God.
Us a Tumblr.
I you dare made us a you. I double you made us dare a TikTok. You.
If you make us a Tumblr, I quit.
You made us a TikTok, Olivia. That's already quittable behavior. We're not. I am younger than you, and even I am not Gen Z enough for TikTok. It scares
I never,
me.
I there never had a Tumblr phase. I'm not going to start now. I'm pretty sure I saved myself a lot of stress by never having a Tumblr phase. I know. I've heard stories.
I'm everywhere, and I'm not on Tumblr. And I'm on everywhere else.
Exactly. Tumblr's useless since they took away the porn, John. And that's all.
So true. Absolutely. Yes.
So, yeah, find us at Quit Star Trek Pod, which is I Quit Star Trek. That's us, usually, wherever you Google it. Buy our t-shirts on TeePublic. Giraffe, as previously mentioned, has our t-shirts, which are lovely and are holding up after, what, a year? Year and a half?
I don't remember sometime during the pandemic. I don't remember. Time has no meaning.
Time has no meaning. In the past, before the third age of man. There you go. Once again, thank you so much. And until next time, everyone, don't endorse pseudoscience.
Yeah.
Fine. God, can't have any fun anymore.
And pay your church tax.
I don't know. Do whatever you want.
Do what you want.
Do what you want.
Except support pseudoscience. Good night, everyone.